Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what's happening with you, I want you to know that Jesus is your answer. He's your answer because he and he alone can forgive you. He and he alone has the key to the chains that are around your life. And the big thing is to just come to him and tell the truth. You can't fix you. I can't fix me. We can't fix each other. Whenever we try that, it's tough. You've heard a multitude of prayer on my behalf. Pray one more is not too much to ask. Tried to fight this battle by myself, but it's a war that I can't win without your help. Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. Once upon a time, you turned the water into wine. And on my knees, I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? So many times, I've hurt the ones I love. Push them to the edge of giving up. They stood by me, but how much can they stand if I don't put this bottle in your hand? Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. Once upon a time, you turned the water into wine. And on my knees, I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? I shook my fist at heaven for all the hell that I've been through. But now I'm asking for forgiveness and a miracle from you. Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. And once upon a time you turned the water into wine. So on my knees I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? Help me turn this wine back into water. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and we're going to start reading at verse 32. But before we do, let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, we are your people, and this is your book. Holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, Peter said. The psalmist said, your word, O Lord, is settled forever in heaven. Paul said, all scriptures God breathed. So here we are, reading Dr. Luke's record here of the life of Jesus. And we ask that you'd speak to each of us in our own particular and needful way. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 23, we are in the midst of the crucifixion of Jesus. And two men are also being crucified alongside him. Verse 32, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place of the skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots, shooting dice. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up to him and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was written a notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Wow, what an incredible moment. It wasn't long ago I preached on the verse, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But I want to back up today, and I want to take a closer look at these criminals, these guys that were crucified alongside Jesus, the two of them. Tradition tells us that they were brothers, and that the man that actually talks to Jesus and asks for forgiveness, they said that his name was Dismas. In fact, some ancient old churches, St. Dismas Church, named after this guy, which is amazing to me. But the crucifixion is the most cruel form of capital punishment ever devised by the sick mind of men. It was invented by the Persians, and you could believe that because they were a brutal and awful group. They invented it about 500 BC. The Romans adopted it because it was so cruel. They loved that, and they adopted it about one century BC. It's interesting. You have, for instance, Psalm 22, where the Savior, this is 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, when David wrote Psalm 22, and he describes the crucifixion. "They pierced my hands and my feet. All my bones are out of joint." Describes all this stuff. And crucifixion hadn't been invented yet. Isn't that interesting? Well, here they are. Jesus being crucified, and as the Old Testament scripture says, he was numbered with the transgressors. And this is the fulfillment of that. These guys are dying on each side of Jesus. And when this criminal asks Jesus to remember him, Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And our response is, "Are you kidding me, Jesus? Do you know about this guy's sin? Do you know what this dude has done?" The word "criminal" doesn't give it justice. Let's talk about his sin for a moment, shall we? It can be translated robber, criminal, murderer, marauder. You could just put the name Antifa on that if you would like to. That kind of criminal. That's just a marauder out there and goes and just beats on people in public and takes whatever they want. They were destabilizing the government. He'd been involved in murders and everything else. He would have had, if they had him back then, they would have had their black suits on with their face masks on. We got to deal with these guys, by the way. But his sin was that he was exactly that. He was, in our illustration today, in this portion of scripture, we see the conversation between the two criminals. But before that, there was other mocking going on, and this guy was involved in it. It said the criminals also hurled insults at him in the other gospels. The story is told briefly in all four gospels about these two guys being crucified with Jesus. But this is the most detailed. So his sin is that the guy just lived an awful life. He's an absolute criminal, and he's insulting Jesus as Jesus is dying. He didn't deserve anything from Jesus. Nothing at all. And yet, he is what the old folks called saved. How did that happen? Look at this. He says something to Jesus. He says, "Remember me, Jesus. Remember me." What an interesting statement. Yeah, that is, literally, it means waits. A wait is what it literally means, the Greek word. It means, "I want to, please, after this, could I weigh on your mind? Could you think about me?" yesterday I had a wedding for my little cousin out in Romeo. And my cousin Steve was talking about how my dad could always get us tickets for Tigers games. Now, Steve lived when we were kids. Steve was living here. Now he's living with his wife and kids in Illinois. You know, as we were kids, my dad could always get great tickets, usually for a Yankees game. And we would go, and my dad would cheer for the Yankees, and we'd all try not to get killed getting out of there, okay? But, you know, it got pretty ugly sometimes. My dad was such a big Yankees fan. And so my dad would always get tickets, and he would get tickets from Mrs. Kaline. She came into my dad's meat market, and my dad would say, hey, can I get four tickets for next Saturday? And she'd take care of them. And so we'd go. We thought that was great. There was one kid that my dad got a baseball for that Al Kaline signed the ball. It was one of the kids from Ruth Street. And you know what he said about that baseball? He said, that baseball is proof to me that for one moment, Al Kaline was thinking about me. Isn't that something? What a sweet thought. Well, I want you to know, there's an old gospel song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. That's true. That's true for this man. Jesus, remember me. Could I weigh on your mind? Man, why is he saying something? Why is he even asking Jesus that? I'll tell you why. He'd been watching how Jesus responded to the other people around him. They're crucifying him. He's right next to him. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Maybe I got a chance with this guy. Maybe it could happen to me. He realized that maybe Jesus loved him, cared about him. I remember Harold. He was my dad's friend in the rest home. Some days they wouldn't know anything. And they'd be eating their lunch and food would be all over them. You know, other days they were carrying on a conversation about the stock market. It was really weird how they could, both of them had that Alzheimer's. Well, some singers came into Autumn Ridge and they were singing Jesus Loves Me, that little song, and all the old folks knew it and they were all singing it. Afterwards, Harold is crying. Now, Harold's a little Jewish guy and he's crying. And his caregiver, who was from hospice, said, Harold, why are you crying? He said, why didn't they tell me? He said, what do you mean? They didn't tell you what? That Jesus loves me. I never knew this. And he cried and he thanked Jesus for loving him. That's just great stuff. This guy thought, maybe, Lord, remember me when you come. And then Jesus' response, today you will be with me in paradise. What? What are you talking about? This guy? How can you just say it and it's okay? On what grounds could this guy be made right? Well, I'll tell you, it's very simple. God saves everybody the same way. There are not some people who kind of earn their way and some people who can't make it and so God forgives them. All humans are lost. And everybody has to come the same way. And they come these two ways. Number one, there's an old word, repentance. This guy says to his friend, when his other friend who's dying with him there, he says, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. And the other criminal, our boy, said, don't you fear God since you are under the same sentence? Get this, we are punished justly for we're getting what our deeds deserve. He admits it. That's step number one, is repentance. I've done it. I don't deserve it. I mean, what a great statement. My friend Neil Mansfield called me. He was in a rest home. It's either rest homes or funeral homes for me. I don't know what it is. Neil Mansfield called me. He said, Tom, the doctor told me that I ain't got long to live. He told me to get ready because I'm going to meet the big guy. No, he means he's respectable. That's just the way Neely Joe talked about the Lord. The big guy. And Tom, I've done terrible things. I thought, man, the Lord's working on that guy's heart. There's something going on. There's some repentance starting. So I go to see him. Tom, like I told you on the phone, I've done terrible things. And I made the mistake of saying, like what? And I let him confess to me. Woo! Man, he was way worse than I thought, and I thought it was bad to begin with. Man, he unloaded the truck, baby. He was absolutely honest, and I told him that Jesus loved him and would forgive him, and he asked Jesus into his heart like a little kid. And you want to know what happened? Neil Mansfield went to heaven because he trusted Jesus and didn't deserve it. Amen. That's how everybody goes, the same way. You know, repentance, let me say this to you, it's the opposite of pride. It's the absolute opposite. In our culture, we have Pride Month we just came through. If somebody has to have a month of showing their pride, it's not a display of their pride. It's a display of their insecurity. Because we know that we're self-condemned. And we can try to act like we're good, and we're not. That we got it all together, and what we're doing is okay. And then I got to come up with a way to try to pressure you to say that I'm okay no matter what. You can't disagree with me or I'll destroy you. That's great love. Yeah. Pride is the absolute opposite of repentance. I'm telling you what. As long as you say that your sin is not sin, you remove the key from the door. Repentance is the key that unlocks the door to God. It's so important that we understand that. So if you're ever going to experience God's love and forgiveness, you must agree with him. You got that? It's really important that you understand that. So the first ingredient to this guy coming to Jesus is repentance. The second one is faith. What do you mean? I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. It's this. He said, Lord, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I know you're him. I know you're the Savior that was promised. I know. I believe it. Repentance. Faith. It's such a beautiful thing. We sang a song today. And I was so I wrote it down. This morning it came to me. And I thought, that's a great song. I have to say what this verse says in this third verse of this song. And then Craig says, let's sing Rock of Ages. And there it is, the third verse. By the way, it was written by Angus. I love it. Angus Tuplady, a good old Scotsman, in 1776, in verse 3, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's what he did. He came, he repented, and he believed. Simple. That's all it takes. Can you imagine this dude showing up in heaven? Can you picture it? I mean, later on that day, he dies, right? And suddenly he's at the pearly gates, and the angel says to him, Mr. Dismas, why are you here? And he goes, I don't know. And he said, were you confirmed in the church? Were you bar mitzvahed as a boy? Were you baptized? And he goes, no. Then why are you here? He said, I told you, I don't know. So they have to get the supervisor angel in, right? The supervisor angel comes in and says, let me look. Let me ask you, sir, can you give me your definition of redemption? He says, what? Redemption. I don't know about that. How about your view of Scripture? Can you tell me your view of Scripture? Blank stare. Then on what basis are you here? And Dismas would say to the angel and the supervisor angel, the man on the middle cross told me I could come. Period. You're not earned. Listen to me. Because this man died for us, that is the only basis through which we can ever live beyond this world and know him and be right with him today, based on the crucifixion of Jesus. We got to keep going back to the cross all the time. We've got to live at the foot of the cross, or we'll start thinking that we had something to do with our salvation. And if you start thinking you had something to do with your salvation, it results in two terrible things. Number one, an awful despair, because you can't live this. You can't live it perfectly. You're a sinner. You're going to fail. And you're going to say to yourself, I guess it must not be real for me. I guess I really didn't believe. What's wrong with me? I should be able to keep up with this to make sure I go to heaven. I sure hope I make it. Oh, no. What am I going to do? No. I'm sorry. The Bible says all have sinned. And you're still in a sinful body. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God is helping you, but you're not always going to do it right. So it's good. You got to be saved from that despair. Here's another thing. If you think you had something to do with your salvation, if it's not the despair, you're going to become the most arrogant turkey around. Because you think you somehow pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. The church today is filled with people who think they earned their own salvation, or at least had a big part in it. Those people are lost. The only way you can ever come to God is with a repentant heart and trusting alone in Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. It's that simple. There was an old question they always asked. It was the old Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. In Florida, Dr. Kennedy came up with this evangelism explosion thing, and it was this thing you learn to try to win people to Jesus. And the question you were supposed to ask everybody is, if you died today and God said, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? If you answer that in the first person, you don't know what you're talking about. Because I did this. Because I did that. There's only one way to answer that question. That's in the third person, because he died for me. It's the only reason. Wow. This man came to Christ and he belongs to Jesus. It's the only basis. Repentance, faith. So, maybe you were raised in the church. Maybe you were baptized young. Maybe you were confirmed and thought because of that you are a member. I want you to know the only membership into the body of Jesus Christ is through the shed blood of Jesus, and that alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply true, thy cross I cling. You think about that, okay? Come on, let's stand together to pray. All right, let's pray together, my friend. Lord Jesus, I ask you to examine our hearts. Would you help us? Father, we don't have to try to impress you or anybody, because we can't. We're so used to trying to earn everything. Help us to receive the gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. My friends, it's only received. It's not earned. So why don't you tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I need you. Come into my life. I believe that you are the Savior. Forgive me. Take my life and make it yours. My friend, it's that simple. A simple step of admitting that we're lost and believing that he is the Savior. Father, I ask you to bless everybody here with me today in the room. Thank you for the simple truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.